Amen. Friends, it is so good to be here with you tonight. What a blessing to be together on this special night. You see, here at Good Shepherd, we believe that Jesus changed the world. On that night when God entered into this world and became human in this fragile, tiny baby, everything changed. We also believe that Jesus still changes the world. Even today, that God is still working for good in this world, that God is relentlessly moving to bring about healing and hope, joy and love over and over. And it all began on that night over 2,000 years ago. And it began, according to the story we just heard, after a really, really long walk. I mean, Nazareth to Bethlehem, if you don't know your geography, that's about 90 miles. What's the longest you've ever had to walk somewhere? I mean, as I was praying through the story this year and thinking about it, I found myself trying to imagine what that must have been like for Mary and Joseph, and I kept thinking about those times in my own life when I've had to walk for what felt like forever. And the first thing that came to mind was the last time I went to Costco, right? Because the place is huge, and you can never find what you're looking for the first pass. You have to backtrack. Or maybe what comes to mind for you, you've had this experience where you had a connecting flight through Chicago and you had to go through O'Hare and you come in at this gate and you have to walk all the way to the other end and it feels like forever. But seriously, I mean, what's the furthest you've ever walked? For me, there's no contest. It was when my family visited a few years ago New York City. You know, this time of year in all the Christmas movies, they always say, oh, there's nothing like Christmas in New York. I disagree. We didn't go during Christmas. I think there's nothing like Christmas in St. Louis, right? Amen? Because you got things like Candy Cane Lane and Ted Drew's Custard and Old Town St. Charles and the Zoo Lights. The list goes on. So we went to New York in the summer. We went in July. And the thing about that is you kind of walk everywhere in New York City, right? You might hop on a subway here and there, but mostly you're just walking everywhere. And we only had a few days or a couple days, so we wanted to see everything as much as possible, pack it all in. And we had some relatives that live out there, and they were giving us advice on where to go and how to get there and what to do first. And they kept saying this strange thing. They kept saying, well, when you get there, right across the street, there's this place that has really good ice cream. And then they said, the next place we went, and they're like, if you turn left and go about two blocks, you'll find another place that has some really good ice cream too. And like the third time they said that, I was going, how much ice cream do you all eat in a day? And they said, our kids are young. It keeps them motivated. Trust us. And they weren't wrong because our kids were tired. Their feet hurt, but we always had that ice cream. It was pretty good. It was no Ted Drew's custard, but it was okay. But we walked and walked, and it was such a good day, but it was such a long day. We were sore, our feet were tired, our clothes were all sweaty, and the thing is, it's kind of stressful because it can be dangerous. There's so much traffic, and the yellow ones don't stop, right? And at the end of the night, as we're heading home, I looked at my watch, my step counter, and I realized that we had walked 22 miles that day. It was a long day. We were tired, but it was okay. Because that was a trip we wanted to make. It was something where no matter how tired we were at the end of it, we knew we had a comfortable bed to sleep in, a warm meal to go to. But for Mary and Joseph, it was a totally different story. Walking from Nazareth to Bethlehem, that's 90 miles. That wasn't a day trip. It probably took them about a week. And it wasn't a trip that they wanted to make, right? They were forced to make this trip. Because this decree comes down from Rome. It's bad news. It's big news. It means there's going to be more enforcement. They're going to be cracking down. There's going to be even more oppression. And there's going to be, this injustice masquerading as lawlessness. And people like them, they had no alternative but to comply. So you have to wonder, what did Mary think and feel in that moment after, I mean, this was like 9 months after the angel came. I can just imagine her praying, God, where are you in this? You promised that salvation was coming in this child, but since then it's been silent, and it just keeps getting worse. God, I need you to speak. I wonder what Joseph must have felt as he looks outside every day and sees these bullies in uniforms pushing around, abusing, intimidating his people, his family, his community. I imagine Joseph praying, how long, God? How am I supposed to keep this baby that's so important safe if this is the world we live in? But of course, they hold on to this hope from the promise they had heard, and so they are obedient, and they pack up their things, and they head out on what was probably the longest and most dangerous journey they've ever had to make. But you know, that week on the road, we don't get to know any of the details. We just have to imagine and wonder, where did they sleep along the way? What did they eat? Did they talk to people? Were they sad and troubled the whole way, or did they make time for joy and laughter and dreaming about the future that might come when this baby finally arrives? We don't know any of those details. All we know for sure is that when they finally get there to Bethlehem, there's no place left for them to stay, except for the corner of a stable with the animals. And as I watch this scene play out in my mind, I can only imagine what that must have looked like on that night. Can you see it? You can imagine the commotion in the night when Mary looks at Joseph with panic in her eyes and says, "It's time, the baby's coming." And in that moment, Joseph is transformed from an ancient Judean man into a modern lead actor of every romantic comedy ever, who goes into freak out mode, running around trying to help, help, a baby's coming. I'm just a man. I've got no skills. But seriously, they must have been panicked. But eventually Jesus comes, and he's healthy and well, and you can imagine their joy, their relief, their exhaustion. I can just see tears in their eyes, some tears of joy, but also some tears of sadness. As Mary looks at Joseph and says, "He's beautiful. I'm so thankful he's healthy, we're okay, but Joseph, I thought this would be different. This isn't how it was supposed to be. Where is God? Why are we here in this stable? I have to lay him in a manger." And just then, when they're struggling, there's this knock on the door, and these three strange men poke their heads in and say, "Is this where the baby is? We're so sorry to disturb you. I know this sounds crazy. You're not going to believe it, but we were out in the field, and these angels lit up the whole sky." And Mary and Joseph look at each other and smile and say, "You know, that doesn't sound crazy at all to us." And then they invite him in. "This is Jesus. Come and see." You know, I wanted us to take some time tonight to kind of lean in and imagine this story and look deeply, because if we're going to understand the heart of God that's revealed in this story, we have to see this whole thing so that we can ask the right question: why? Why did it happen this way? I mean, if God can send angels to Mary and Joseph in the middle of the night, surely God can find a better place for them to stay in Bethlehem, right? I mean, if the angels can come and light up the night sky for the shepherds in the field, why not come to a city or a town where more people see and the truth is known? If Jesus, who's Emmanuel, is going to grow up to be able to heal the sick, raise the dead, even come back from death to life himself, then why does God not prevent Mary and Joseph from experiencing all this fear and struggle and suffering? See, because on this night, in this moment, God needs to show us unequivocally who God really is. God wants us to see and understand once and for all this undeniable truth that God hears the cries of those who suffer, that God holds close those who are living in fear. God shows up in the oppressed, not the oppressor. God shows up in the powerless, not the powerful. And it's even here in the midst of the most dire circumstances that God bursts into the world with new life and joy and hope, illuminating the darkness, driving it out, and building something more brilliant and beautiful and good. You know, when we think that the world is about to fall apart around us, you should get ready, because that seems to be when God shows up, especially to those that maybe think that they're beyond God's love, that they're not worthy of it, like the shepherds. You know, and if that's you, if you're here tonight and you find yourself struggling, if you're in a place where you're hurting, know that God is near to you. In Jeremiah 29, God says, "When you search for me, you will find me when you search for me with all your heart." In Psalm 34, it says, "The Lord is near the brokenhearted. The Lord saves those who are crushed in spirit." God is so close. God has not forgotten you. But I think all of us, you know, if we're people of faith even, we ask the question sometimes, God, where are you in this? Maybe there's something going on in your life and you're struggling to see where God is at. or maybe you just look at the things going on in the world beyond and the suffering and the struggling, and you're like, where is God in all of this? But if there's one thing that the circumstances of Jesus' birth story show us, it's this. If we want to see Jesus, we've got to stop looking in all the wrong places. Because Jesus didn't show up in an expensive business suit. He showed up in rags. Jesus didn't show up in a palace. He shows up in a barn. The shepherds didn't show up in the angels didn't appear to the shepherds in halls of power. No, the angels show up in the field to the poor workers. If we want to see Jesus, we've got to stop looking in all the wrong places. I think sometimes we keep looking for God to act and move in places of power or palaces or success, saying, well, where is God? And all the while, God is on the ground saying, I'm right here. I'm sitting right here with those who are ignored or marginalized, overlooked, and suffering. If we want to see God, that's where we are to look. You see, on this night, God said, no more. No more will the lowly be invisible. No more will the oppressed be abused. No more will the cries of my beloved children be in vain. On this night, everything changes. Friends, every year I hear this story again and again, and every year it changes me just a little bit more. This year is no different. As I read it over and over and was praying about tonight, I feel like God was showing me new things I'd never seen before, and my life's going to be different because of it. What about you? How will your life be different because of the story and what God is saying tonight? I truly believe that God has a word for you tonight, for each and every one of us. Now, I know some of you might be saying, what, Pastor, that sounds great, but I'm just here because my grandma wanted me to come tonight. But that's, you know what I say to that? I say, hallelujah, the Holy Spirit's working through grandma to have a good word for you. Amen. But seriously, God has something for each of us. How will our lives be different after tonight because of this story and what God is doing? Because just like then, today, God is breaking into the world with something new. You see, this story is about you and it's about me, but it's not just about you. It's not just about me because it's so much bigger than that. Tonight, this story is speaking to billions of people. I mean, think about it. Literally billions of people all around the world. This story right now is everywhere, changing hearts and minds, opening eyes all over the world. And I believe that just like then, God is doing a new thing today. And I believe that God wants you to be a part of it. So what if tonight we too said no more? No more sleepwalking through this life. No more numbing myself into apathy. No more turning a blind eye to the needs of my neighbor. No more endless doom scrolling and scapegoating. What if tonight everything changed because God created us for so much more? And just like 2,000 years ago, God is now breaking into this world with something beautiful and good. Good news. Freedom for the captives. Justice for the oppressed, joy for the brokenhearted, new life for sinners. On that night, friends, everything changed. On this night, everything changes. God is moving. Don't miss it. Don't miss out on the life God has for you. Don't miss out on being a part of this beautiful, amazing story God is writing even now. Let us pray. Holy God, we are so grateful for this beautiful story that moves and inspires us, even though we hear it year after year. God, we thank you for the way your love came so gently and peacefully and powerfully into this world in a way that can only move our hearts. God, we pray that your love would seep into our lives and out through our lives for the sake of the world each and every day and all that we say, all that we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.